It is interesting, though, that the last two Sundays, I walked to church in the rain under an umbrella, come home, and drive to church in the rain. What is up with this rain? I mean, isn't this crazy? So, as today, as we are preparing to share in the Lord's Supper, I had been pondering, Lord, what is it that you would have me to share today? And so, as sometimes God does, he'd put something on my heart about a month ago, and so yesterday I went back to that, and it made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. It's kind of a weird thing that when that happens, I'm going, Lord, I even wrote myself a little note, you know? And so put something entirely different together, and then this morning the Lord says, no, here's what I would like you to do. So I want to share my heart with you guys a little bit and hopefully, you know, allow you to see into the heart of God maybe as you look into my own heart. But I just want you guys to understand and to know something. Do you have any idea how much God loves you? Do you have any idea? Sometimes, you know, we say that, well, God loves you. And yet, there are times when he needs to show us. There's times when he needs to allow something in our life. I mean, that thunder display was amazing this morning, wasn't it? You know, I heard it at about 10 after 4, way off in the distance, and then it just kept getting closer and closer to where I think it was like right above my house. But it was beautiful. But one of the things that I have seen is, have you noticed how sometimes when God is revealing to us, he's just showing us, you know, I love you. And one of the ways that he does that is when he comforts us. And that's what's so cool about this, the ministry of these quilts. They call themselves the comforters, you know. But comfort's an amazing thing. And so I need to just share my heart with you and tell you a little bit about my last couple of weeks and hopefully give you a little insight into how much God loves us. First of all, I don't know if you heard. I mean, I heard it was in the newspaper while I was gone that I missed my flight going over. Did you guys hear about this? Okay. So I get to the airport. Josh gets me there early. My flight's leaving at 9. I get there early, thinking, wow, I've got a couple hours to kill. Might as well go hang out at McDonald's. So while I was at McDonald's, my flight left without me because they changed it to 7 o'clock and I never saw it on there. Did just totally missed it. Didn't even see it. So they canceled the 9 o'clock flight heading to Detroit. So I show up at my gate and no one's there and I go, where is everyone? He goes, that flight left an hour ago. I said, what? What was weird is I was there. I was just at McDonald's. So McDonald's can be hazardous to your health, man, you know. So, rebooked for the next day, crazy thing. And so my luggage went without me, and so it was an interesting night. Josh had to come back down to the airport, pick me up, and he saw that it said 9 o'clock, just so that you guys know that I'm not making that up. But so, you know, was that maybe a sign from God? I don't know, that more was in store for me, because I get there, and in Germany right now, they have had their wettest, coldest July in 120 years. And I had the great blessing of being there for it. I'm thinking it's July, so I brought all shorts and t-shirts. I was freezing the whole time, you know. Had to borrow sweatshirts from everybody. So, get there to Germany, and for some of you that are grandparents, how many grandparents? Let me see how many you are. Oh, many of you. Something quite unexpected that only you will understand. And so for some of you that have children, it's similar, but I don't know. Bill and Karen Hardy tried to warn me before I left to see this little dude, Philip, that gets put into my hands when I walk in the door. How can you fall in love with someone so fast? You know, I've held your babies, and I love them, and I enjoy them, but there's something different when it's your little grandchild, you know? And instantaneously fell in love with little Philip. Mari was way ahead of me because she's been there for, you know, already a month. She got to give him his first bath, and you guys got to see her on Skype. And so, you know, I knew I've got 2 weeks to enjoy this little guy, so it probably really wasn't fair to anyone else that I was there. Would you like me to hold him? No, that's okay. I got him. You know, he started to make a little whimper. I was up, you know, hit my mother-in-law, you know, Marcus's or Kit's mother-in-law. You know, no, I got him, you know, and I'll beat you up. But, you know, so staying up way past my bedtime, getting up with Christy at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I took advantage of every moment that I could get to just hold the little guy, and I'm a touchy-feely guy anyway, so it was absolutely a crazy, amazing thing. Now, I share this with you because I knew before I left, many of you had warned me, Bill and Karen, they have a granddaughter, or a grandchild, where's yours at? In North Carolina. Greg and Elaine warned me, they have one up in Washington. And so some of us have them, you know, and so you see them and you have to leave, right? Knowing that, so for you to have grandkids here, you are blessed, let me tell you. And so I knew before I left that I had 2 weeks, and the funny thing is, I began dreading coming home before I even got there. You know, Jim would say, Rob, you're not even there yet. Just go enjoy the time you get. And I said, yeah, but I got to come home. I got to leave the little guy, you know. But I had no idea how hard that was going to be. And there were times I'd be holding him, you know, he's just asleep on Grandpa's shoulder. And I would look at Mari, and she'd look at me, and she'd smile, and I'd just start shaking my head going, how in the world am I going to leave this, you know? And so I knew that was going to happen. You understand? It wasn't like I was unaware that at some point I was going to have to leave, and I was going to have to leave him. People here had warned me. And so in my mind, I knew I'm going to come to a wall that I have to go through. And so I knew that. And yet, no one can prepare you. So, you guys are reaching for Kleenex. I'm going to need one, you know. So, right in front of you, Derek. Thank you. So, I'm going to hang on to it. So, you know, no one can prepare you. I mean, I've seen you guys cry, and I'm thinking you're babies. You know, I can do this. Let me show you. Let me lead by example. So many things transpired. I had the privilege of, you know, teaching at Marcus and Kit's church last Sunday, as I share with you. Walked to church 2 Sundays in a row in the rain. They only had it's a small little church, evangelical free church. I was amazed. I mean, the first Sunday I went there, they introduced me to a couple of the elders, and they start talking to Marcus in German. And Marcus looks back at me, and he says, they want to know if you would be willing to just stand up and tell a little bit about your church in San Diego. And I said, sure, whatever they want. So he goes back, talks to him in German again, and then he comes back, looks back at me, and he goes, they want to know if you'll just do the whole service. And I said, whatever they want. And so that part was like exciting until they told me I only had 30 minutes, and I had, and you need a translator. It takes me 30 minutes to say my name, as you're discovering right now, right? So I had, and you guys know my great passion. If I only get one chance to speak to people, and if I only got 20 minutes, I'm going to talk about daily devotions, and that's what we talked about. And Marcus, after we got finished, said no one has ever talked to him in such a fashion. So I think it was a good thing. They asked me to come back, so I guess that's good. And so the day came for me to leave, right? And no, you know, I I had to get a hotel. My flight left last Wednesday early in the morning. So Marcus has to work. So I said, well, I'll just get a hotel in Frankfurt. You can just drop me off at the hotel. Mari and I go online, look through Delta, you know, because we don't know. And so we find this hotel that says close to the airport, you know, 1 mile from the airport. I said, oh, there you go. So I knew, you know, we booked this place online, and I'm going to go there Tuesday night. And so I said, Marcus, I'll be ready to go when you come home. And so Marcus, when I saw his car pull up, I'm holding little Philip. He's sound asleep on Grandpa's shoulder, which is where one of his favorite places to be was. And as soon as I saw his car pull up, I couldn't help myself but just began to convulse in tears. It was just crazy, you know. I mean, and my daughter looks at me, and she sees me with tears pouring down my face. She starts crying. Mari starts crying. Marcus comes in, walking in, going, what in the world is going on? You know, he's a German. They don't cry, okay? Germans don't cry, okay? So I look at Kit. I said, where do you want him? She goes, in his bed upstairs. So her and I walk upstairs, and I put him down in his bed. And it's weird, you guys, because I know I'm not going to get to touch him. Everyone says, oh, but there's Skype. Yeah, but I'm a touchy guy. And I don't get to touch him for a year at least. So, Carl, for you guys that are in the military and what you have to do when you leave, I've gained a whole new appreciation for your time away from home, man. So I put him down in his bed, walk out, hour and a half drive to Frankfurt. My heart is aching. I'm telling you, five times I could probably say in my life where my heart has really, truly been broken, and that was one of them. It hurt. I'm telling you, it hurt. So we drive to the hotel, and we get to the hotel. We go in, and I say, wait a minute, I don't even hear airplanes. It says it's a mile away from the airport, right? So it is a mile as the crow flies, but it was almost 20 minutes away from the airport. I should have known better. The name of it was Albatross, right? Should have been the indicator. So we go into this place. It's a dive. It's creepy, right? As I walk in, there's a bunch of Muslim guys doing their evening prayers. I'm thinking, here comes the white Christian dude from America, right? This is going to be interesting. But, you know, it was too late. We had already booked one for Mari. I said, you go home, you cancel this place. You're not staying here. So I go in, check into my room. You know, no TV, no telephone. The place looked good on the internet. How do you make something look good on the internet? You know what I'm talking about? It's crazy. So here in this place of, you know, where your heart's broken, you're in a dump. I mean, trust me, I didn't even let my feet touch the ground. I had slippers on the whole time, right? So I began to just cry out to God, saying, God, you know how bad this hurts. Not the hotel. I mean, that's just like topping it off, you know. And just sitting there in that moment, just saying, God, you know, I need you right now. I don't have any other distraction for me. There's nothing to distract my attention, because you know how when we're hurting, we want something to distract us. We'll find a distraction. And there was nothing to distract. Except for the little guy in the moped that kept coming and going all night long, right? So I needed to go. I kind of went through the suitcase, and as I did, and you know, and I was saying, God, I really need comfort. I need you to comfort me. And I know you look and you say, well, you know, Rob, are you that big of a baby? I mean, for crying out loud, you're a man. I thought you were a man's man. I am. This little guy messed me up. And I knew, and I know. See, I understand certain things, and we know Bible references here. I know that Romans 15:4 says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. In fact, do me a favor, turn there. I want you to highlight this verse, Romans 15. I want you to have this one so that when you're in my shoes someday, you're going to have this particular Bible verse for you. I'm going to give you another one too in just a minute. But I'm hoping that maybe as I share my heart with you, that you're going to see the reality of what God loves to do with us sometimes and how he does things sometimes. So Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And may I tell you guys something? Just now I asked you to turn in your Bibles and I could hear the rustle of pages. When I stood up at this little church last Sunday and I said, would you guys open your Bibles to John chapter 6? I heard one paper rustling, and that was Marcus next to me. Not one person in the entire congregation had a Bible. Not one. I wanted to yell at him, what is wrong with you people? You know. But I realized that, unfortunately, they just haven't been trained. And so encourage them to read their Bibles and then encourage them to bring them to church, because that's your tools, you know. So it made me very, very grateful to be in a place that we open our Bibles and I can hear you turn in your Bibles. Verse 4, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. So where does our comfort come from? The Scriptures. We might have hope. And now, may the God of patience and comfort, so we're comforted through the Scriptures by whom? Interesting. Grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. So the Word of God brings us comfort because it's the God of the Word that comforts us. Does that make sense? So when you need comfort, I want to encourage you to turn to the Word so that God can give it to you. Turn with me, turn to the right, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And these are, you know, if you will, I know these principles, we know these principles, but when you need more than a principle, when we need to take a principle and say, God, I need you, I need a tangible touch from you, I need you to be the one to somehow reach through that very principle that I know and bring to me some form of comfort. I don't want to just, because you understand, principles won't comfort you. Principles can be the vehicle by which God can comfort us. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us. So who comforts us? The God who is the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our tribulations. Now, sitting in a hotel room, well, we'll call it a hotel room, with a broken heart, is that tribulation? For me, it was. For me, it was. Is it tribulation that other people have been through? Probably not by comparison, but for me, it was. So each of us have a place where our heart is troubled, and we need God to comfort us. We need the God of all comfort to comfort us. So that we then, once he's done this, we then may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So that's what I'm doing with you today. The God of all comfort did meet me, and I'll show you. And thereby, I want to comfort you so that you can see how God does that for us. So here I am. I cry out to God. I rummage through trying to just rearrange some stuff in the suitcase and to get my slippers, because I wasn't letting my feet touch the ground. And I find a daily bread that I threw in there at the last minute. Normally, never do this one. I've been doing Oswald Chambers, as many of you are. And so here I sit in this hotel room just after I said, God, I need you to comfort me. I get my Bible out. And as I do, pull the slippers out, out flops a daily bread. And in the daily bread on that particular day, it's very, very interesting. So turn now to the left to Psalm chapter 40, and I'll show you what God did with me on that moment. Okay? So Psalm chapter 40. Have you ever had an ache in your heart where you literally feel that, I mean, it starts to affect you physically. You know, you get a headache, and you're holding your heart in your hand, and you've cried out to God, and you wonder, does he hear? Does he understand? Will he respond? And the most amazing thing that happens is when he does. Are you on Psalm chapter 40? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and he established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and will fear, and will what? Trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So isn't it interesting that when I say, Lord, I need you, and I say, well, oh, here's a daily bread. Well, let's do the daily bread for today. And God is waiting there saying, Rob, I've heard your cry. I'm going to bring you up out of this horrible pit. I'll set your feet upon a rock. And then what's interesting is underneath that, you know, they always give you kind of like another little context verse. Let me show you what that one is, okay? Turn with me to Psalm chapter 30. So turn back 10 chapters. And this was what was waiting there for me. So you're in Psalm 30? Look at verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor, his love is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So would you agree with me that it appears God was trying to comfort his son, me? Here I am in a place in the middle of nowhere. No one around me hardly speaks any English. In a dump, my heart is broken, and I cry out to God, and he says, I got you. I love you. You're my son. Of course I'll comfort you. My son needs to be comforted, and I'm going to do that. And so, once again, the Lord brought me to a place. What have I been sharing with you guys for the past many, many years? That we have to learn to trust God. That's the primary lesson of our Christian walk. Is, do you trust me? God is asking us that. And we're going to learn it in many different areas, in many different ways. Once you learn it in one way, God will say, let's teach it to you in another way. And I needed to learn a new area of trust, that weeping is for an evening, weeping is for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And so he let me have my evening or my night of weeping, but joy comes in the morning. And so once again, the Lord was teaching me, Rob, blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. Rob, are you going to trust me even with this situation? Even if you don't like it, will you trust me? See, trusting God doesn't mean that we like it. It may not mean that we say, I'm going to trust God, so I have to like it. But sometimes, honestly, we may not like what we're dealing with. I don't like the fact that my daughter lives in Germany and that my grandson's over there. You don't like it that you have children that live in other locations. But we have to trust God in the midst of that. Do you understand? And so this is amazing what God began to show me. Then I come home. And as again, as you guys know, Mari's still there. She's still got another week. And so her weeping is yet to come. She knows that it's coming, but it's not there yet. Come home, right? And the Lord wasn't finished with me yet. I come home and I open up on July 29th. And it was a very, very interesting thing as God began. So actually the 28th, you know, in Mark chapter 6. So you can go there real quick and I'll just show it to you. And then show you a couple more things that the Lord began to show me. Okay? I come home, and this is why it is so very, very important that we spend that quality time with the Lord in the morning. You have to have a quiet time with God. If I wouldn't have had quiet time with God, if I would have found an English-speaking television station, if I would, my phone would have worked, I would have occupied my mind instead of being quiet to where God could speak to me. And so being quiet with the Lord, sometimes he creates it, but sometimes we have to choose that. And I would encourage you, if you don't have that time where you just open up your Bible and you let God speak to you, whether you use a tool like Oswald, which I encourage you, or the Daily Bread or whatever, or you're just reading through a book at a time, I encourage you, have a quiet time with God so that he can speak to you. So in Mark chapter 6, it tells the whole story of Jesus with his disciples. I've taught this a million times, you guys. This is what God gave to me to give to the church in Santee to get them through a difficult time. But it was very interesting that Oswald talks about, you know, we are apt, he says, to imagine, listen to this, very interesting. We are apt to imagine that if Jesus Christ constrains us and we obey him, he will lead us to great success. Isn't that interesting? We do that. Sometimes we believe that if God is speaking to us and he's leading us in a direction and we follow his lead and we walk in obedience, that it's going to be great blessing. And it is. Obedience is always blessing. But sometimes we have the misunderstanding that that blessing means that it's going to be a lot of fun. Sometimes when God is leading us, that isn't quite the story, is it? And so on this occasion, Jesus told his disciples to get inside of a boat. They did. They obeyed what he told them to do. They walked in obedience. They get into the boat. He says, go to the other side. They follow his orders. And they follow his command, and it leads right into a storm. Jesus told them, I'm going to send you into a storm. Isn't that radical? He didn't tell them that, but he knew what he was doing. So their obedience led to a storm. Are you with me? That can happen to us sometimes. Sometimes I believe that when God is at work in our life, he allows storms in our life. But I honestly have now discovered that there are times when he knows that it's coming and he purposely leads us into one. Purposely. And I'll show you more in just a moment here, okay? So he says this, we must never put our dreams of success as God's purpose for us. The question of getting, and he talks about the means to the end. See, oftentimes we are so goal-oriented, we look at the goal and that becomes what we live for. I want to get to the goal. Do you understand that heaven is our goal? God already knows we're going to make it. So the process that we're in, the things that I needed to learn that night in the Albatross Hotel, that's what God is all about. He says, Rob, you're going to get to heaven someday. That's already done. But I want you to learn something. What I'm interested in is what I want to teach you in this lonely little hotel room in Germany on this particular night, the 26th. The process is what God is interested in. And so he goes on to talk about, you know, how God sometimes leads us. Then the next day, on the 29th, he talks about, in Revelation 1, you don't have to turn to this one, but it talks about, behold, he, Jesus, comes with the clouds. And this is very interesting also. So sometimes God leads us into a storm. And Oswald says, if I can stay in the middle of the turmoil, calm and unperplexed, that is the end of the purpose of God. Learning how to trust God in the midst of your difficulty. God is not working towards a particular finish. His end is the process. And that I see him walking on the waves, no shore in sight, no success, no goal, just the absolute certainty that it is all right because I see him walking on the sea. It is the process, not the end, which is glorifying to God. So in other words, sometimes we just need to know that God is there. We just need to see Him. We're in the midst of our trouble, and the moment we say, okay, I see Him, I'm going to be okay. He's going to bring comfort to my heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Okay. So the next day, on the 29th, Oswald talking about how we see Jesus coming in the clouds. And he talks about it is those very clouds that the Spirit of God is teaching us how we need to learn to walk by faith. He says, God cannot come near without clouds. He does not come in the clear shining. And listen to this. It is not true to say that God wants to teach us something in our trials. Through every cloud that He brings, He wants us to unlearn something. His purpose in the cloud is to simplify our belief until our relationship with Him is exactly that of a child. So here, as I was saying, God, I need You. I need You to reveal Yourself to me. Again, I learned, and so some of you may think, whoa, Rob, you're saying God leads us into a storm? Can I ask you a question? Remember when God told the entire nation of Israel, He says, Moses, here's the way I want you to go. Moses probably was already thinking, we're heading up the coast. We'll cruise up to the Mediterranean beach. We can surf a little bit on the way up. This is going to be cool. And what does God do? He says, no, that's not the way I want you to go. And He leads them a different direction to where He, by God's direction, by God's instruction, by God's little GPS that Moses was holding in His hand, where did He lead them to? The Red Sea, to a dead end, to a trial, to a place where God says, so Moses looking at him and saying, oh, what are we going to do? He looks behind him, sees the dust cloud of Pharaoh's army coming at him. The people freak out. God purposely led Moses into a trap to teach Moses a lesson. Jesus told His disciples, get into the boat, knowing there's a storm waiting. Are you with me here? Then God revealed Himself. Jesus revealed Himself to the boys in the boat. God wakes Moses, tells Moses, Moses crying, and He says, what are you doing crying? Get up. And as God told me at the Albatross Hotel, what are you doing crying? Get up. He says, hold that stick over the water. And God provided. God revealed Himself to an entire nation in the midst of a great difficulty that He set up. So sometimes He sets us up with these things. Not to see our demise, not to cause us pain, not to say, cool, I want to hurt you. That's not the God of love that we serve. The God of love that we serve says, I'm going to set this up for you because I want to show you how much I love you and how much I care for you. I want to bring you comfort that no other human being on the earth is going to be able to bring to you. I'm going to use my word, the word of comfort, because through the word of comfort, you're going to meet me. You're going to meet me, Rob, at the Red Sea. You're going to see me on the Sea of Galilee. And I want you to know that I care about you all alone, isolated in this little place out in the middle of nowhere. But I see you and I know where you are. Isn't that amazing? How much does He love us? That's crazy. And so God showed me how much He loves us. Now, interestingly enough, turn with me now all the way back to John chapter 15. We're going to do a couple more in John. And if I can have our communion team go ahead and gather together at the back. In fact, why don't I just bring the worship team on up here and I'll start to wrap this up, okay? In John chapter 15, because remember I told you that God gave me something a month ago. Look, I even wrote it here. Lord's Supper for July, John 12:20. Wrote it down. Had it sitting on my desk. Went back to it yesterday. Couldn't figure it out. The Lord showed me something. So John chapter 15. Are you there? Look at verse 9. Whoops. I'm in John 14. Let me get to 15. As the Father loved me, Jesus speaking to His disciples on that final night of His life, trying to comfort His disciples, comfort a group of guys that were absolutely clueless. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide. And that word abide in the Greek is to continually, habitually choose to stay in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy, what was going to be waiting for me in the morning, joy is in the morning, may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. Listen to what Jesus says. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus knew, I am preparing to walk out. We're going to cross the Kidron Valley. We're going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to lay down my life. Guys, I want you to understand how much I love you. In fact, the greatest example, the greatest expression of love is when we choose to lay down our own rights, our own life, for that of another. And Jesus was going to do it not metaphorically. He's already done that. But he was going to do it literally, to put his life out there for me and for you. So God reminded me in the albatross, Rob, I love you so much. I laid my life down for you. So don't ever think that I'm not watching. And so that little section in John chapter 12 that didn't make any sense, turn to John chapter 12. That didn't seem to make sense to me as I was looking at it. I think I liked it mainly for one reason. Look what it says in verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast, and so they came to Philip. My grandson's name. I like that verse. We wish to see Jesus, they said. Philip then came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. But Jesus then answered and said to them, the hour is coming. Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Do you think Jesus knew what laid ahead for him? Absolutely. For he who loves his life will lose it. This was the message to not only the disciples, but to those Greeks that were there. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And here's the verse that I believe that God gave to me. It didn't make any sense. Now, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, like the one this morning, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. As Jesus sat in his little albatross hotel, saying, God, I see what lies ahead. I have to not only say goodbye to these guys, I'm going to a cross. I don't know if I like this, but I'm going to trust you. This is the very reason that I came. God was leading even his own son to a Red Sea. He was now, the lesson that Jesus taught his disciples, Jesus was in the boat and the storm was hitting. And even he, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, said, I'm going to trust my Father in the midst of this difficulty. And we know that Jesus went through and laid his life down for me and for you. We know that he paid the ultimate price because he said, greater love is no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friend. So the God of all comfort received comfort from his Father when he heard, oh, I'm going to glorify it. You see, going through the storm and trusting God, going through the difficulty that sometimes he allows, sometimes he sets up, when we make it through, that's when the glory takes place, because that's when our trust in God, that's when from principles become reality. That's when our heart gets comforted and you know God exists, because there's no way that this could have just happened by chance. There's no way. There's no way that as I pull out a pair of slippers, the daily bread that I stuffed in there on the last minute as I was walking out the door here happens to flop out. There's no way that on that day that would be what God was going to use. There's no way that any of you cannot tell me that that was just chance. God knew, I knew I was going to be going to this particular place. Unlike Jesus, I didn't say, what shall I say? Save me from this hour? I would have said, please save me from this hour. I don't want to do it. But he says, that's the very reason that I came. I came to pay for your sin. Not only pay for your sin, but I want you to know how much I love you, how much I care for you, what I'm willing to do on your behalf. Listen, I came here today to share with you that God knows when our hearts are hurting. He knows when we're in trouble. He knows where you are. There's no place on this earth that we can hide from him. There's no place on this earth that we can go that he doesn't see. Even if we're not trying to hide, there's no place on this planet that you are alone. There's no such thing as a God-forsaken place. God loves you. He loves you so much that he laid down his life for you. And today, that's what we celebrate, isn't it? Today, we are reminded, wow, that's how much he loves me, that he gave himself for me.